go to the Rumba Revolution Hotline, where Ron is standing by from sportsoverload.com. Hello, man.
What's going on, fellas?
You are, what's your record now? 15-1 or something crazy?
13-1.
13-1?
Yeah. I have a blemish now. I'm no longer perfect.
Nobody.
Cavaliers.
I'm not going to fault you for picking Cleveland.
Yeah.
So do you have an opinion on what went wrong specifically? Is there any one thing that jumped out at you? There were a number of things, I suppose.
Well, just a few little things. For one, Ilgauskas got away from his game, was out on the three-point line a little too much. I think their idea to try to go small to match up with Orlando didn't work at all. Putting Wally Szczerbiak in there at different times. And Mike Brown got away from what made them good in the regular season.
What was that?
It sounds silly, but they utilized LeBron a little bit differently. They got him coming off curls and got him moving around the offense, and it wasn't always just straight-up ISO LeBron go one-on-one, one-on-five. They moved him around a little bit more in the regular season, and they got away from that and just stood around and watched LeBron more in the playoffs.
Yeah, they stole Miami's playbook for some reason and started running the D-Wade offense, and we're not sure why that happened.
Well, Ron, do you think it was a case of Orlando just being a bad matchup, which, you know, a lot of people said? Or because you look at the first two rounds of the playoffs, they got 8 wins that weren't even close.
Right. I think they got a little too full of themselves, first of all. I do think Orlando is a tough matchup for a lot of teams. For anybody that doesn't have an athletic power forward that can guard Rashard Lewis or E.J. Turgula, depending on how the matchups fall, if you don't have somebody that can match up with Lewis, you're going to be a tough matchup. But I think Cleveland, after they were 8-0 and cruising and sitting back for that week waiting to play Orlando, they got a little too full of themselves.
Man. I would also point out that great teams find a way to exploit the matchups that benefit them, and unfortunately Cleveland couldn't do that. So again, we're going to find out if Brown is a bad coach, which I'm starting to think, or if Orlando's just that good, and if LA handles them in 4 or 5 games, and Mike Brown's not going to look too hot. But if, you know, Orlando gives them a dogfight, then I guess you can just say, hey, Orlando's a really good basketball team, which is, you know, there's definitely a case we made there.
Orlando's red hot right now, and they really are a good basketball team. I just think the matchups are completely different against LA. For example, someone like Lamar Odom matches up fine with Rashard Lewis out on the perimeter, inside or outside. Someone like Trevor Ariza can guard E.J. Turgulu. Whereas at times, the Cavs hid LeBron James and didn't make him play defense. He was guarding Rafe Ralston. And so you had Delonte West trying to guard E.J. Turgulu. That's 6'8 guarding, a 6'2 guy guarding a 6'8 guy. And you had matchups. You had in the Boston series and the Cleveland series, you had unathletic bigs trying to go out on the perimeter and guard Rashard Lewis. I think the Lakers have better personnel to guard the Magic.
Did you see anything from Dwight Howard that you did not see through the regular season? I didn't watch them very closely through the regular season. I have great respect for the guy because the highlight reel stuff from him is amazing. But it seemed like he only took a couple more shots a game during that series than he did during the regular season. And they certainly didn't get him enough touches during the regular season. But did you see anything from Dwight Howard that surprised you? Or did you just get, what you expected? Because to me, there were a couple games especially where they did occasionally force him away from the basket, and he was able to convert baskets, which is something that we thought he was not able to do on a regular enough basis during the regular season.
Well, you can see the progression by Howard. For example, he's learning counter moves. If he usually just tries to get the ball on the left block, they like to put him on the left side, and he tries to go right to the middle. He's learning counter moves, a drop step back to his left, and a little short jump hook. You can really see the progression with him, as even from series to series. I mean, that game one against Cleveland, where was that all the Boston series? He went off for 30 in game one against Cleveland. And it was like, whoa, he's making left-handed hook shots and doing things that I hadn't seen him do in the regular season, for sure.
Yeah, that was the thing that stood out to me is, you know, we always felt like if you got Big Z in front of him at least and he had to throw up some kind of hook shot or something else that he'd be all right. But he actually showed, like, you know, that he could, you know, convert that on a semi-regular basis.
Right. Which brings me to the interesting part of this matchup. I really am curious how L.A. is going to guard Dwight Howard. Because in game one, like I was talking about that Cleveland game, Cleveland just let him try to make shots. And he only took 2 free throw attempts, but he scored 30. And the next 5 games, he averaged 13 free throws. They decided they were going to put him on the line and make him hurt at the line. And I'd be curious to see what the Lakers do, because the Lakers are really thin inside. They really only play 3 big guys, Bynum, Gasol, and Odom. And after that, they don't really have any more depth inside. Josh Powell and DJ Binga haven't played relevant minutes in months. So if they try to make Howard earn at the free throw line, that, you know, run the risk of getting in foul trouble. And Pau Gasol can't get in foul trouble. He plays between 42 and 45 minutes a game. You know, if he starts at power forward, if Bynum's at center, but then if Bynum comes out, Gasol slides over to center, and Odom plays power forward, and Gasol almost never comes out of the game. So it's a huge blow to them if he gets in foul trouble.
What about running in one of those guys off the bench, though? I mean, that's Joe's theory, that they're going to run those guys in and use up all their fouls.
Right, you can do it in spot duty, but it takes away from – it's hard to run the triangle offense with guys out there that can't contribute. That's part of what makes the triangle offense so tough to guard is everybody can shoot and it makes it difficult if they do that.
I'm with that point, Ron. I'm pretty sure that Benga, you know, he would be right out there just for defensive purposes only and, you know, to make fouls or whatever. But Josh Powell, when he's seen some court time, he has a little, 10 to 12-foot jumper that he right has a mid-range game, and he can do a little on the offensive
end. He's not as limited as Benga, for sure. The flip side of that, though, is I'll say Gasol will also make Dwight Howard work more than he's had to work guarding Kendrick Jones Ogowski. Gasol will definitely be a much tougher cover. Dwight Howard had more freedom to roam the paint and block shots. And it, you know, he'll have to work more guarding his own man in this series, which could open up the driving lanes for Kobe and everybody else.
Okay, what else are you talking about on Sports Overload? I guess we should get your official pick. What do you got?
All right, well, I'm taking the Lakers in six.
Yeah.
I think they got it.
That seems to be, you and the president are together on that.
Common theory there.
Uh-oh. Yeah, I blame Obama if it doesn't work out. So what about, what else are you guys talking about? What are you looking at?
Well, we got the NBA draft coverage heating up. We're even kicking off some fantasy football coverage, even though it's really early. Got some SEC fantasy football coverage up already.
Who's the best fantasy football running back this coming season?
Well, I would put Charles Scott and Michael Smith as the top two. Charles Scott and Michael Smith are right there. Maybe Caleb Green from Georgia. There's a King, Caleb King, I'm sorry. Those three would be right there in my top three.
About college fantasy?
Yeah, college fantasy.
Oh, I missed that. I'm sorry. I was talking NFL.
Oh, I thought you said SEC.
No, who are your top fantasy football running backs?
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to think, who's an elite running back in the NFL right now?
Oh, okay. Well, right now, number one would be Adrian Peterson, then Michael Turner, Maurice Jones-Drew, Matt Hey, the rookie out of Chicago had a huge year and finished in the top five. Chris Johnson, the rookie for the Titans. LaDainian Tomlinson still in the mix. Brian Westbrook, Steven Jackson.
Yeah.
LaDainian Tomlinson still is, huh?
Mm-hmm.
He's still in the mix. He was the long time he was the number one guy for about 3 or 4 year stretch there. Now he's back. I think he could be somewhere between 7 and 14, somewhere in that mix.
You're risking a high pick on Tom Brady?
I never take a quarterback that high. I think it's silly.
Right. I think a lot of people get the way, yeah.
Right. Because last year I took Kurt Warner in round 9, and he was the fourth best quarterback. So you can boy value on quarterbacks. Without question.
All right. I'll go with that. Okay, so we got you down for L.A. in six. And, Joe, you say?
I guess, you know, everybody's thinking alike because that was exactly how I was thinking, L.A. in six.
I'm going to say L.A. in five. How about that?
Ooh.
How's that for cocky?
Wow. Ooh.
I don't know. I have no idea what's going to happen. I'm just curious to see if I find it hard to believe that Dwight Howard will continue this run that he's had. But it sure would be fun to see him do well. But we'll see.
Well, I think Lakers Magic will be more fun to watch than Lakers Cavs, personally.
Tell me
why.
I
think the Magic are more fun to watch than the Cavs. That's just me.
I don't think there's any doubt. But, you know, that European style, it's a little more finessey. I think they match up probably better. I think L.A. is probably happy that they don't have to bang around, although they do have Dwight Howard, I guess. But they're not an overly physical team other than Dwight.
Should be a fast-paced, high-scoring series. A lot of threes, a lot of scoring.
Yeah, and that's what you want to see when you get to this point.
Right, because everybody's talking about the ratings galore for Lakers-Cavs. I think Lakers-Magic should get great ratings. I think this has been a great NBA. I think people are tuned in no matter what the finals is going to be.
Now, this is the most, water cooler talk I can remember around the NBA in a while. It's been some time since I can remember this much.
Right.
Average. I mean, Tommy Smith is a very marginal. That's how I sort of rank everything. Stuff I'm interested in, whether or not Tommy cares about it.
Right.
He's played a lot of attention in the NBA, so that tells me that we are crossing the demographics with NBA.
I agree.
B-Mac, you've been watching, you're an old guy. You've been watching the NBA?
I have a little bit.
See, if Brian McCray's watching it, you know what goes good with the NBA? Homewrecker burrito.
Homewrecker burrito, man, you're right.
Ron, you going to be down there anytime soon?
This weekend.
Okay, holler at us.
All right, sounds good. Thanks for having me.
SportsOverload.com. Thanks, man. Appreciate the time.
All right, thanks.